I really hate sharks.
That makes two of us.
Could be worse. Could be zombie takeout. Welcome to episode 256 of Zombie Takeout, the B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And without any further ado, let's just get straight to this week's movie, which is from 2015, Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No. I've been waiting for this one.
Hey, that's this year.
And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by the Black Knight. It's only a flesh wound.
And also brought to you by Chekhov's Rule. It even applies to golden chainsaws. All right, we have a very sensitive story about a man and a woman married and trying to keep their family together.
About to have a kid.
Oh, fuck, it's about sharks. It's sharks falling from the sky. Yeah. Here is the thinly pulled together plot of this movie that is absolutely irrelevant, so we shouldn't even waste time talking about it.
It's a Sharknado movie.
Right. He's receiving some stupid thing he's getting the Congressional Medal of Freedom, a Presidential Medal of Freedom. He's been inducted into a newly established Order of the Golden Chainsaw.
Yeah.
And the White House is, of course, attacked. Turns out the entire Eastern Seaboard is being attacked. And he goes on a bit of a quest to get to his, I don't know if they're actually married or if they're, they actually aren't very clear if they're married or
not.
Well,
he gave her the ring at the end of two, so.
Right, okay. And he's going to get with his, back with his family together, who are down in Orlando. He runs into Nova.
From the first movie.
From the first one, who of course we thought was dead.
Well, no, he pulled her out of the shark at the end. Last time I saw it was when we reviewed it, but I think she survived it.
I thought they just kind of added that in, that, you know, he pulled her out.
Maybe.
that she was gone. So sharks fall from the sky. They come up with convoluted ways to get rid of the storm, which of course leads them, which you got to do with the third movie. Usually it's the fourth.
It's the fourth. Yeah, they went into space early.
I'm very shocked that they broke that rule and went into
especially
space.
This series.
But who could resist going into space with sharks?
Yeah.
And
an ending that, as I put it after I first saw it, redefines batshit insane.
Yes. Hilarity truly does ensue.
And just from the opening, I loved this movie because they start with a parody of James Bond.
Yes, I was not expecting that, which is a very pleasant surprise.
Like, literally the very, very beginning, you see, you know, the classic Bond spiral, except it's a shark's mouth.
Fight, yeah.
And it's Finn in the tux with the chainsaw.
Now, this was kind of a test, I think. There are a lot of times where, you know, I wish I could do this professionally, you know, and, you know, watch the movies in the right mood and everything. But sometimes you got to do it late at night after a long day of work. And sometimes I worry that gets in the way of my enjoy. If I'm harsher on a movie, if I'm in like a bad place.
If it had been anything middle of the road, absolutely. But it's a Sharknado movie.
And I was thinking that, you know, I was going to hate this movie. And that I was just going to be pissed the whole time and, like, can't believe I'm staying up to watch this, you know, precious, sweet sleep. And damn, was it enjoyable in the beginning.
Really? I will say, I think the first half hour drags a bit.
Drags? They're in Washington for the first, like, 10 minutes?
Okay, yeah, true.
I mean, they have a few things out in that 20 after, but I mean, it's...
Yeah, there's maybe a little dragging in that time from Washington until the Sharknado really hits. I think when he finds Nova is really where it kicks in.
It is a tight hour and a half, really, that I couldn't see anything hitting the floor on this, you know?
And that beginning in Washington was really a study in stunt casting.
I thought they were going to do the entire movie in DC. I was under that impression that this is going to be, they would just do a different city each time.
I had read that it was DC and Florida, so I didn't know how they were going to juggle the two. But yeah, it's just that beginning scene in DC.
Yeah.
And there's a subtle gag in there that I absolutely love. The sort of secretary who's introducing him to people.
It's Bill Ingerl.
Well, no, not the Secretary of State. The woman who's just sort of, she introduced the president and then she introduced him and she's kind of
Oh, that one.
in the crowd, among the crowd, like saying, this is who so and so. She introduces Mr. Benchley from the Post. Do you get that?
No.
Peter Benchley wrote Jaws.
Oh.
Just such a subtle gag, and the last thing you ever expect from a Sharknado movie is subtlety. Loved that.
But like the chief, White House chief of staff, I mean, you should talk about the stunt casting. The chief of staff was Bill, here's your sign, blue collar comedian, Bill Ingrell.
Mark Cuban was the president who should never be allowed to act again. Of course, Rick Fox was in there. I think the woman I'm talking about, it was on Entertainment Tonight or one of those shows, so she's
Oh, is
pretty
that
well known.
Maria Menounos?
That's, yes, I couldn't think of her name.
But
Also,
like Ann Coulter, of course, is the vice president. I mean,
right.
it just, I mean, the stunt casting in this movie
Particularly in
is
that scene, in the
fucking
White House scene there.
beautiful. I think from beginning to end, they snuck George R.R. Martin in there.
Oh, that I absolutely loved.
They snuck Anthony Weiner in there. And I mean,
I did catch him.
they gave him a decent part, actually. He was
Who?
in for more than just a scene. He was in for a few scenes.
Where was he?
He was like the commander of the control center.
Oh, I thought he looked familiar. I couldn't place him.
And in fact, it was weird because they put him in. There were two different control centers, one for NASA and one for something else. I forget where. But he was the commander in both call centers.
Nice.
I was like, wait a minute, why is Wiener here too?
Now, of course, I'm not going to nitpick the science in a Sharknado movie either,
There
but
is no science in a
right.
Sharknado movie.
But okay, these sharks are flying through the air and they're like taking pieces out of the Washington Monument and Lincoln Memorial. Not nitpicking it, because what do you expect from a Sharknado movie? I just thought it was hilarious.
Here's the only science you need to know from this movie, where he asks, "How can they survive in space?" And Tara Reid replies, "How can they survive in
Yeah,
tornadoes?"
exactly. They do make fun of themselves there.
Duh.
Also, memo to ID4, this is how you destroy the White House.
Yeah,
That whole
Emmerich
Yeah,
can
learned a lot
suck
from
one.
this. That whole beginning though reminded me of a video game called Saints Row 4. Are you familiar?
No.
It started off as a GTA clone that was, kind of generic. And then they decided to take it into ridiculousness, just to, separate themselves. So you have
Yeah.
this gang called the Saints, who basically gain power throughout the series. And by the fourth one of them is president, and they're all like the cabinet. And aliens attack the White House. And that the beginning of this just reminded me of kind of the tone of the beginning of Saints Row 4. I did think the Iwo Jima gag was a little cringeworthy.
Oh yeah, that was probably the worst of the movie, I would say.
And then he leaves Washington on the way to Florida to meet up with April and Claudia.
And there were a lot of people who were pissed about that image being used for another political issue entirely earlier this year. And so I'm thinking, and I think it was probably even around the same time as this came out, but I didn't hear a word about this.
And probably my favorite piece of stunt casting came in that kind of dead 20 after he leaves Washington. Chris Jericho as the guy who runs the roller coaster.
Oh yes. And I love how they like completely ignore him, even though there's like a shark right there. Until of course, oh, we better get him out of here. It's too late.
I loved watching him as a wrestler, and the few times I've seen him act, I really enjoy him. So it was great to see him in this. Probably the best performance of the all of the stunt casting and cameos and whatnot.
Not Frankie Muniz?
Oh, okay, yeah.
I dug him. I wish he had a bigger role in this.
I wouldn't quite call him stunt casting so much as just, you know, he was in the role.
True.
He hasn't.
Like you got a real actor.
Yeah. He hasn't aged well. I mean, yeah. we were talking about Mark McGrath last time, not aging well. He is about 30, but he looks about 35. Maybe it's just because I don't realize how old he is, because I don't realize how long ago Malcolm in the Middle was.
I thought I just heard something today about them possibly getting back together for that.
Yeah, yeah. Bryan Cranston wants to do a reunion, or he said he's in for one. Speaking of cameos, Jared Fogle was set to appear in the film, making another cameo like he did in 2. But his scenes were removed following legal issues prior to the film's premiere.
The version I acquired.
Say again?
The version I acquired, he was still in.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
His pants were getting... what happened was his pants were being inducted into the Smithsonian. And then a shark flies through them.
Oh my, especially given, what happened, that's, wow. And they made this decision when it was just the guy who worked for him that got busted, before he actually got busted.
That's right, like, he didn't get busted until very recently, maybe they knew something.
Like a few weeks ago, yeah. So they made the right decision.
They knew something, you know?
They probably did, dumb luck. Yeah.
That's, we gotta research this guy.
Well, he was being investigated because the guy he worked with was into kiddie porn. The guy who ran his foundation.
Yeah.
So he was being investigated, but there was no actual dirt on Fogle at this point. So, yeah, that was either a very lucky call or, like you said, they knew something.
So do you think that, was that in the original airing?
I don't know. I missed it when it first aired. I tried to watch it online, but my computer kept buffering. So I acquired a copy the next day.
I hope to change my cable situation very soon, actually.
Yeah. Another video game that it reminded me of. When Finn started driving through the fog, just before he finds Nova,
right.
Very Silent Hill.
Yeah, the whole the leather and the mask and stuff.
And it did go a little horror there. You know, there was a shark eating a guy on land.
Yeah.
That had a very kind of a zombie feel to it. And then you see Luna, you know, backflip off the top of the RV in all the leather.
Which is why Frankie Muniz, you know, said the line that we introed with. I mean, when they're parodying it, they really drive it home. I mean...
Well, actually, no, that was not a reference to... that scene, it was a reference to the actress who said, you know, I hate sharks. She's in a show on Sci-Fi called Z Nation. It's about, you know, a zombie attack.
Well, right, the whole thing has that kind of feel to it, though, that the sharks have replaced the zombies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically a zombie movie with sharks, yeah, kind of.
Right.
Although I thought her introduction was a little clumsy, the shot of her flipping off of the beast, the truck... You know, it just, the editing seemed a little off, and I know I'm criticizing the editing in a Sharknado movie, but I don't know, maybe because I'm watching it this time, I knew it was Nova, it seemed like it should have been bigger, but, you know, maybe the first time it didn't strike me as odd, because I didn't know who it was.
I think they were trying to, you know, play with us whether that was a good guy or a bad guy, you know.
Yeah, they were, exactly, you didn't know who that was, if they were going to come after Finn or whatever. So yeah, I guess
right.
He kind of wanted it to be kind of subtle in the background.
Yeah, it was kind of a mysterious thing until...
Yeah, watching it the second time, knowing it's Nova, I felt like it maybe it should have been more pronounced, but you're right, it does set up more of a tone if you don't know who it is.
Yeah.
I did kind of like the idea of the shark surviving in the clouds. Because clouds are made up of water.
Yeah.
They've got gills. I'm not saying it actually worked, I'm just saying it was kind of clever.
I just kind of think of Graham Chapman's, you know, flying skit from Monty Python,
yeah.
Where you know, he's got, you're not flying, you got strings on you holding you up.
And this is kind of where it picks up, because they decide, you know, they're going to give Finn a ride to this military base, because this bridge was washed out. And the base gets attacked, and there's of course the Wilhelm in the base attack.
Damn, I missed it.
And then the first truly great moment of the movie, I think. Frankie Muniz, Lucas.
Becomes the Black Knight.
Yeah. His death scene is one of the greatest things I've ever seen on film.
And they make it so obvious where he's like, he wants to tell Nova that he loves her, but you know, he does it anyway. Yeah, and... yeah.
He chickens out and he's going to, you know, go, to, you know, you assume he's going to just, you know, get in the Beast, their truck, and just
survive it. Right, that makes no sense whatsoever.
He just climbs straight to the top, and apparently there's this button on the top.
Yes, why would you put the button there?
That blows the truck up. But on the way, he first, before he can even get in the truck, gets an arm taken off by a shark. And then crawling above on the top of the truck with one arm, and apparently both legs gone at this point, gets the other arm taken off, and he's kind of scooting with his chin. And he manages to hit the button with his chin.
To cause the great flare. Now, I mean, it was just... it was one of those so stupid, it was brilliant scenes, oh, honestly. Because yeah. Why would you... if you had the flares coming up from the top, why would you put the activation button for where the flares are going to go? It would be the equivalent of putting the trigger on the gun below the barrel.
Unless it was a last-ditch, you know, suicide bomb. But even if that's the case, why would you put the button on the top where a shark can land and hit it?
It's the slingshot with the dynamite, only it's not quite an elastic rubber band.
Right, exactly.
It just falls in front of you, boo.
And of course they take off in a plane. Apparently Nova has learned to fly an F-16 in the interim.
Of course.
Trained by Finn's son, who has yet to come back to the series. I'm hoping for 4.
He wasn't in the...
He wasn't in 2 or 3.
Oh, okay.
He was mentioned in this one because that's how Nova learned to fly, and Nova and Finn both learned to fly from him. They fly over a NASCAR race. Such a crowbarred in scene.
I know.
It's because they had a couple of NASCAR drivers who apparently wanted to be in the movie just to have like one line.
I think everybody fucking wanted to be in this, though. I mean, you get Anthony Weiner in it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just kind of amazing how great the series has become given the first one. Because I kind of gave it a 4 on concept alone. It didn't really measure up to that.
Yeah, the fact that they can just keep this going.
And keep the quality up for the most part. I don't know on average if this was as good as 2, but it makes up for it. We'll just get to that. And we'll decide how much we want to talk about the ending when we get there. But, you know, before we get there. So there's this crowbarred in NASCAR scene, a bunch of NASCAR drivers stunt casted to basically say, holy shit, you know.
What's going on?
Yeah. One of them actually has the subtitle, Oh Hell No.
Yes.
And then their plane crashes in a small pond, which could have been in Universal Studios, I'm not sure.
Probably. Mm-hmm. They probably filmed all of that in Universal Studios.
Which was very clever. It gave them some nice alternatives in terms of settings.
Yeah.
But they crash, and apparently the crash stripped off their clothes, because they come up in their underwear. Seeing Nova in her underwear was very nice. Gotta say. And this is really where it picks up. All of the stuff in Universal. That's where this Sharknado finally happens.
Oh, of course. It's like this... the fact that it's happening throughout the entire coast instead of just one city, which makes you wonder what they're going to do next film.
Should also mention that the Roker Lauer cameo, which was great in the first one, has been expanded to pretty much the entire Today Show cast.
They're now the Today Show Greek chorus.
Pretty much, yeah.
And honestly, on paper, that is annoying as fuck, or should be annoying fuck. But in reality, it worked. Like, if you told me, oh yeah, the movie is going to have this Greek chorus, and the Greek chorus is the Today Show cast, and I'll give you the exposition of what's going on, I would have thought that, oh, fuck, I'm in for it.
I want to see Anthony Ferrante do other movies now, given what he's managed to do with Sharknado.
And I don't know if you're going to see the Today Show cast in the next one, because they implied that they got killed by sharks.
Yeah, yeah.
In the end.
Yeah, I really think Lauer and Roker particularly should have had a better ending given particularly what they did in the second one.
Right.
But there were some great moments with Kathy Lee and Hoda, I don't know what her name, full name is.
Yeah.
With the wine bottles.
Of course. I think that's
the sharks come in and they smash the wine bottles and, you know, have the handles with the broken glass and they're going at the sharks.
Their trademark, you know, drinking wine, you know, mm-hmm. even though it's like 10 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
Yeah. And of course, then we get to the George R. R. Martin cameo. He gets eaten by a shark with a woman in a wedding dress sitting next to him because of the red and purple weddings.
Well, you know, he's not a big fan of weddings, apparently.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, if you see a wedding on Game of Thrones,
yes,
something bad's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Or something very good, depending on your perspective on the characters.
That is true.
And again, not a nitpick of the science, because I never expect it to be realistic, but they're talking about, well, there's basically what Lucas, Frankie Muniz's character, calls a sharkacane forming, a bunch of sharknadoes coming together.
Yes.
And he had this plan before he was turned into the Black Knight, of what could end it. What could, you know, fix the problem. And it required a 60-foot-high flame burning... 60-mile-high flame burning hotter than the sun. On Earth.
Yes. But would that vaporize the ocean?
Pretty much. It would pretty much burn through to the core, I think, you know?
Something like that.
They say in, you know, a couple of 100 billion years or whatever, actually, I think it's like 5 billion years, the sun is gonna envelop the Earth, so obviously anything hot enough, or as hot as the sun touching the Earth, not a good idea. Not the only egregious rearranging of physics, either. Finn... April, Claudia, and this boy that Claudia picks up, their daughter, they manage to fit into a stock car. They fit 4 people into a stock car.
Comfortably, too, I might add.
Yeah. Because the Sharknado was hitting the amusement park, hitting Universal Studios. And there's a lot of great scenes in there. We're kind of jumping past that part. They take a very interesting ride in the Universal Studios ball.
Of course.
Yeah. And I think that's the first time we see the bionic hand at work.
Oh, yeah. And the saw, you know, the saw wrist.
Mm-hmm. April's missing hand from the last movie has been replaced by this bionic arm that has all of these attachments. She's practically Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, that's who she is.
Yeah, she can bend metal and there's a saw attachment and all of this, yeah. It's kind of like where she duct taped the saw to her stump in the last movie, just turned into a bionic prosthetic. So they escape Universal Studios in this stock car, and they realize they need to talk to Finn's father, who is a retired NASA captain. Or colonel, sorry.
Yes.
Played by the Hoff, because who else should play Finn's father?
I was thinking maybe Bruce Campbell, but... Hoff, of course, is a solid choice.
Yeah, I would say just in terms of image, the Hoff is probably the better choice than Bruce. But, you know, it's a tough call.
I think they need to bring Bruce in maybe as April's...
April's father, that would be father, awesome.
Yeah.
Incidentally, Bo Derek plays April's mother. Brilliant, yes. Casting there. Bo Derek as Tara Reid's mother. By the way, checked the age difference between Finn and April... Ian Ziering, and Tara Reid. Apparently the characters met in high school. He's 12 years older than she is.
And he's 12 years younger than Hasselhoff.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot to check. I checked that when I first watched it. I forgot to double check it tonight. But yeah, I remember them being a little too close to be father and son, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just got a kick out of, you know, supposedly they met in high school and they're 12 years apart. And they're basically setting him up to get with Nova. And she's like 25.
You think so?
They tease, well, not always, because she wasn't in the second one, but they teased that in the first one, and they were kind of inching around that in the second one, in this one, rather. Depending on the poll results, I think they will probably go there in the fourth.
So you're thinking the cliffhanger, she's not going to survive.
Well, we'll get to that when we get to it. First, I want to talk about probably the best cameo. Penn and Teller in the diner talking to Hasselhoff.
I mean, it was a very weird one. Mm-hmm. Penn Jillette talking as a Vietnam vet.
Yeah. And Penn does not look good. I don't know if it's age or weight loss or what, but he looked kind of sick.
Like, I mean, I've been watching their show with the magicians.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've seen him recently. I haven't seen him in probably since they did Bullshit.
They've been doing this neat show where they have other magicians come out, do a trick, and you know the object is, can they fool Penn and Teller? So like if they figure it out, they'll give like a couple hints at what they know, and the magician can either say, ah, no, you got it enough, don't reveal the rest of it, or being, nice. Nope, that's not it.
Actually, I should check that out, because I'm one of those people who always likes to kind of try to figure out how the trick is done.
Yeah, it's a very good show if you like doing that.
So they meet up with Hoff and Penn and Teller in this diner that apparently is frequented by retired NASA guys. And there probably is a place like that. It is, you know, that part of Florida.
Who knows who else they had in there, too? Yeah. Oh, like one of the cameos that I missed, just I picked up from IMDb. One of the Secret Service guys, Michael Winslow.
I was reading a bit of trivia that said he was in this movie, and I still didn't catch it. I need to go back and watch.
He's Brian Jonesy Jones.
Okay, he's in the beginning.
Yeah, he's in that Washington scene. There were a lot of the Secret Service agents.
Because apparently, and I'll get to this more in sequels and remakes, but Ian,
like Lou Ferrigno plays.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, I call it Lou Ferrigno, of course. But Ian Ziering was in La Volantula, which premiered shortly after Sharknado, and that starred Steve Guttenberg, and Michael Winslow was in both films. So apparently, Siffy is trying to do a Police Academy reunion or something.
That's funny.
So they're discussing this plan, and apparently it involves a decommissioned space shuttle that was for
space shuttle.
Yeah, secret use only. CIA basically use only. Yeah. If I recall. This kind of reminded me of an episode of Cowboy Bebop. It's an anime, generally considered to be like the greatest anime series ever. There was a decommissioned space shuttle in one episode that had been hot rodded by somebody. This show was set in 2071, so it's, you know, quite a bit after they were used. It just kind of reminded me of that. I wonder if Ferrante is a Cowboy Bebop fan and kind of pulled it from there.
Oh my god, Marc Maron was in this? I missed him entirely.
Oh, just a couple of Jaws references that I caught in my trivia. The couple of the license plates in The Beast in Nova and Lucas's RV were from Jaws.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And Mark McGrath's character, and I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't notice this in 2. He has a small role in the beginning of the movie. Same character, yeah. Finn's brother-in-law. He's named Martin Brody.
Oh!
Roy Scheider's character from Jaws, yeah. Neither of us caught that in the second movie. So they go up in the shuttle to try to take down the shark again. And the initial plan was to use the fuel tanks of the shuttle to, you know, create enough of a blast, kind of like the first movie, you destroy it with explosions. And that doesn't work, so they decide they're going to use the Strategic Defense Initiative, also known as the Star Wars plan. Anybody who remembers the 80s will remember this. Which kind of seems like an odd choice, because I love it. Anybody our age or older who, you know, lived through the 80s loves that, because it was a major controversy at the time.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone under 40 is going to get that.
No, they're not.
Well, also, why did they need the face masks down to launch, but they immediately pushed them back up? I have a feeling it was kind of a dark helmet thing.
And of course, I don't think this spoils it.
Oh, no.
As soon as they go up, you know that Hasselhoff is Major Tom.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not coming back.
Right. They make this big deal about how, you know, he worked his entire career at NASA, never got into space. He's always wanted to. Also, just before they're leaving, Nova gives him this duffel bag that Hoff wanted him to have, and she said she made some modifications. So you know something good is coming. But so they go up, they fire the SDI, with Hoff getting stranded on a satellite, hence the Major Tom moment.
Which I'm not even sure why they put it that they couldn't go and get him.
Just to give him the Major Tom moment.
When, in fact, you know, the sharks were going to attack shortly thereafter anyway.
Well, we didn't know that, and they didn't know that, but when we talked about this, just after I saw it, I spoiled the SDI part. Because I could. Because what comes after that completely blows it away. As amazing as, you know, the idea of them taking down this Sharky Kane with you know, lasers from satellites is. I think we can spoil it and it'll still work.
It's kind of obvious what's going to happen.
Well, what starts it is going to happen. Where it goes is kind of amazing. So, you know, they fire the laser, it ends the Sharkicane, but the sharks fly up into space. And they're still eating things.
And I love how he did the inflection, like, pigs in space.
Mm-hmm. Sharks in space. Said just like that. Finn has to climb out of the cockpit of the shuttle to close the doors, because, you know, they can't go back into orbit. Or they can't re-enter.
As far as cultural references go, and delivery, sharks in space.
The Muppets reference, yeah.
Fucking, that's game, set, and match. You really can't get better than that.
Oh, it does, I think. So Finn, you know, goes into the cargo area to close the doors so they can re-enter. Of course, sharks have gotten in there. He pulls out this duffel bag that Nova gave him. There's a light chainsaw. And I mean a lightsaber chainsaw.
Chainsaw, yeah.
That was when it had me. The fucking lightsaber chainsaw.
It was only a matter of time, honestly. It's, you have the golden chainsaw at the beginning. You knew there was going to be something else.
Right. I didn't see lightsaber chainsaw, though.
Yeah, it's hard to see it coming. But when it's there, you're kind of like, that makes perfect sense, honestly. Yeah.
So the sharks attack. He takes down a few of them with the lightsaber chainsaw. The sharks he took down with the chainsaw, probably because it was in space, looked a lot better than any of the other sharks in the movie.
The zero gravity.
Well, also because, you know, bad CG looks better in a dark background.
True, true.
So he takes them down. Of course, April gets eaten by a shark.
Again.
And then a shark busts through the space shuttle, breaking it into several pieces. Again, the mass of a shark beating the mass of the space shuttle. Finn grabs the chainsaw and grabs a jetpack and flies toward the shark. Or actually, not that shark, another shark, which confused me. I had to watch it a couple of times. I thought they were in the same shark.
I thought so at first, too, but obviously not, because in the end, he had to go to the other shark to get her out.
So he uses a jetpack to get toward a shark. Shark opens. He flies right back, right into the mouth, like in the last movie. Or no, it was the first movie he got swallowed. Wait, did he get swallowed in the second one, too?
He may have.
No, I think the one was coming at him to swallow him, and he just took the chainsaw and split it in half. So he gets swallowed. The shark descends toward Earth. He cuts a hole in the chain, in the shark, as it's descending through the atmosphere on fire. He re-enters the atmosphere inside of a shark, cuts a hole in it, somehow smuggled the parachute assembly from the shuttle along with him inside the shark, sets that off through the hole in the shark, and lands on a small island. He climbs out of the shark, kind of, you know, gets to his feet, kind of struggles a bit. Then you hear another chainsaw. I don't know where she got a chainsaw.
From her hand.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Inspector Gadget hand.
Right. The hand was the chainsaw blade.
So a slot opens in the side of the other shark. Out comes the baby. He was effectively born through the shark. And of course they have to name him Gil.
Yes,
Finn. It was Hoff's character's name, but also Finn, Gil. Then we got a shot of Hoff on the moon. I don't know how he got from the satellite to the moon.
Of course. He couldn't get back to the shuttle, of course.
But he could get to the moon.
But he'd get on the fucking moon.
And then Nova and the daughter run out of nowhere. Apparently they were very close enough to where they ended up landing. I don't want to analyze that too much.
Don't think about it.
The wings that Hoff had given Finn for the kid, you know, little, you know, like they give you on an airplane, those little, you know, wing pin, that kind of deal, gets lost. April sees it on the sand. She runs to get it. Piece of debris comes down, and as soon as it hits her, or supposedly hits her, they have a poll. You know, hashtag April lives, hashtag April dies, you know, go to the site and vote. I voted that she lives, but I almost kind of think it might be more interesting if she dies.
It's tough to say. I don't know.
I think the Inspector Gadget hand has more potential.
I think it could.
But that's pretty much the only reason I want her to live. I think Finn angry at April's loss and another Sharknado happens could be fun.
Well, so the question is, of course, is next movie an international Sharknado? Is it a Sharknado around the world?
That is a good question.
Is it a Sharknado in space?
Well, they've done L.A., Washington, New York, and Florida. I imagine they'd probably leave the country for this one, is what I'm thinking.
Maybe they just do the whole thing in space.
I see 5 being in space, because that's when they're going to mount the rescue mission.
Well, right. You know the Hoff somehow survives being in space.
Yeah. But
for years.
But I think they need to go to Europe first. They've never done Europe. They've never done London or Paris or anything like that.
An American Sharknado in London?
Or Paris. Either one you want, whichever one you want to parody.
Yeah.
Australia could be fun.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
And eventually, like I said, in 5, they have to go to space. Which, of course, conveniently brings us to sequels and remakes.
Yes.
Sharknado 4 was confirmed to follow upon Sharknado 3's premiere. You know, of course, this is a yearly thing. They're going to keep going until Ian Ziering says no.
Right.
Is basically the plan here.
It's got to be close to being done.
I honestly think as long as he's willing to keep doing them, they're going to keep going.
Yeah.
Sharknado 3 concludes with the cliffhanger regarding whether or not April is killed by following wreckage. An ad after the film promotes a Twitter campaign offering fans the chance to decide her fate with hashtags April lives or April dies. The results will be revealed in Sharknado 4, the fourth installment, which will air in July of 2016, of course. Oh, also, there was a one-shot comic tie-in, Archie vs. Sharknado.
Really?
Released on July 22nd, 2015. I think that was about the same day, or very close within a day or two, of the movie's release.
Huh.
An Archie comic in which a Sharknado hits Riverdale. I kind of want to see that. Alright, on to brains.
On to brains.
For most of it, well, for the beginning I was at a 4. I think the first half is better than the first one, but marginally. Not as good as the second. The second half really picks up. I think it's on par with the second one. That ending just redefines batshit insane. I'm going 5.
Yeah, a movie that I enjoyed this much, I've got to go 5 brains as well. Everything is just so bad, it's perfect. The stunt casting is amazing. I mean, yeah. You just look at this list. There's still like Lorenzo Lamas was in there somewhere.
I actually do want to check out the cameo list because I'm sure I didn't catch half of them.
I mean, it's some crazy shit, and it's just a lot of fun. Don't think about it.
It just gleefully defies all reason and logic and science, and they know full well that they do. They admit it.
Right.
I loved that one. You know, how do they survive in space? How do they survive in a hurricane? Yeah.
So yeah, no doubt. Recommendation list that.
And what have we learned?
Was that a shark in Jared's pants, or is he just happy to see kids?
And I learned a couple of things. First of all, I learned that 25% of all serial killers are named Charles, and that biometeorology isn't an exact science yet.
Who knew?
All right, so until next time when we'll be reviewing Turbulence 3, Heavy Metal. Yes, Sharknado 3 kicks off our Part 3 three-parter.
Or Trilogy Cubed.
Mm-hmm. Basically, three Part 3s in a row. Sharknado 3, Turbulence 3 next week, and the following week, Star Trek 3.
The search for more money.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, we'd really appreciate it. Also, you'll find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review, up through, I think we're a few past the trilogy, but not many. I think there's like three or four past the trilogy.
Oh, I've seen a lot. Depending if we ever get Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies. Yeah,
depending. I think we're good through, like, October.
Yeah.
Of course, the request form, if you've got a movie you'd like to hear, please leave it, hear us review, please leave it on the request form, we'll get to it, and the recommendations list. I was unsure when I first watched this.
I thought I was going to hate this.
Well, I mean, after I first watched it the first time, I knew I was going 5, but I really wasn't sure where you were going because of that first half.
I thought there's no way you could possibly get lightning back in a bottle again. And it was just going to be annoying if they were going to try to recreate the first one. Instead, I think they made something completely different here.
Yeah. The Asylum has managed to get double fives out of us twice.
It is nice to see the Asylum making... we've just been watching them improve as we've been doing this show.
Yeah, yeah. I think Abraham Lincoln vs. Zombies was kind of the first hint that they could do something interesting. And I gotta give a lot of credit to the director and writer, Anthony Ferrante.
Yeah.
Like I said, I want to see him do something with a budget and, you know, without all of the contrivances, just to see what he's really capable of outside of, you know, this silliness. Of course, you can email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTL1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you'll always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee, and until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Go ahead, get out of here.
A lot of times when I'm seeing movies...
Take that again, you cut it for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry.